We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The MVP of the league actually fouled out the first two games of the season. When's the last time LeBron James fouled out of a game? Still doesn't get the superstar calls. But there's just so much that I forgot that the league, I feel like opening night was like 2 years ago now. Coach Bud talked a little bit about that. How are you preparing? Are you preparing like this is a new season? Are you preparing like you're getting ready for a playoff run, the end of the regular season? I thought that this was a really good question and a good answer from Coach Bud.
No, I think you know, we're as much as possible, I think, going to pick things up from where we left off. But at the same time, know that we haven't played basketball for, you know, 2.5-3 months, I think it is. And, you know, there's things that we're going to need to do to get ourselves back to playing and playing at a high level, executing at a high level on both ends. And there's practice that's important. There's scrimmaging that's important. But, you know, I don't think we're not going back to ground zero in our minds, you know, both from a mental standpoint, from a physical standpoint, from a work that's been put in standpoint. But at the same time, we know we've got a long ways to go and a lot of work ahead of us.
Absolutely. So is there an asterisk if the Bucks do win a championship? That's the question we're asking you. 414-799-1250. That's also a question that was asked both to Giannis and then Coach Bud.
Well, you know, I feel like it's been said by others, and I would put myself in the camp that I feel like the champion from this, experience from this season, I think is going to be more worthy and probably more special than any champion. And every year there's things that, you know, I guess in theory make it easier to be the champion. And every year I think there are things in reality that make it more difficult to be the champion. And usually the things that make it more difficult far outweigh anything that that makes it less or easier, if that's even the right word. So I think the challenges of this season, you know, this pandemic, everything that's happening in our country, the ability for a team to go back and compete and play against, you know, the other 22 teams in the NBA and come out as a champion, in my mind, it'll be more special and more meaningful than every championship, to be honest with you. They're all incredible. They're all meaningful. They're all, if you won one, you can say whatever you want about it. That team, you know, is happy.
I mean, you have to figure that when Giannis came into the league, his rookie year, the Bucks won 15 games. Now they're one of the more dominant teams, not only in the NBA this season, but in NBA history. I keep telling the stat, they've beaten opponents by an average of 11.3 points per game. That's the fifth largest average margin of victory in NBA history. Only four teams ahead of them, the 72 Lakers, 71 Bucks, 96 Bulls, 2017 Warriors, and all of those teams won titles. So they weren't just good regular season teams. They performed when the playoffs did start. And I think that if you win a championship, if you beat LeBron James, especially in the finals, or Kawhi Leonard, or even the Denver Nuggets in a seven-game series, I don't care if that's played on Mars. It counts. And I think that this is going to be the toughest championship ever to win. I really do truly believe that. That was Coach Bud. We also heard from Giannis. Again, more Bucks media availability coming up today at 10 a.m., so stay tuned to the Bill Michaels Show. They have Chris Middleton. Not quite sure if anybody else is talking today. I know Middleton is for sure. Right at 10 a.m., right when we're getting off the air. So we'll have that. We'll talk a little baseball coming up. Also, it is a Top 5 Friday. Top 5 current quarterbacks in the league. Want to touch on that. All that coming up is the Bart Winkler Morning Show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Lamar Winkler Morning Show here, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Ryan Horvath in today. Bart out and about enjoying his holiday weekend, a long weekend. Hopefully you guys are all doing the same. What's everybody doing for 4th of July this weekend? 414-799-1250. Also a Top 5 Friday. You can weigh in on this. You can jump on at any point. Top 5 quarterbacks in the league. We got a bunch of replies on social media. We'll get to those. We're going to talk some baseball here, though, in about 10 minutes from now with Ben Clemens, does work with FanGraphs. I want to project what a 60-game season might look like. How many wins will it take to win the NL Central? Yesterday, we had Bruce Levine on from 670 The Score, and he kind of brought up the same thing that I've been talking about with the Vegas sports books, and everybody's kind of projecting all these teams to finish around 500 this year. If you win 40 games... 38 games even. Is that good enough to win the Central? How are teams going to use their rotation? Are starters going to be starters? Are you going to use guys out of the bullpen? Are you going to see the opener a little bit more? A lot of good conversations you could have, really. Major League Baseball, I just want the season to happen. I really do. A couple of weeks ago, I wasn't quite sure I even cared anymore about baseball. And I really don't care about the owners. I don't care about Rob Manfred. We got into it yesterday about Rob Manfred and when he popped down with the Dan Patrick Show. I'm so confused. He said it was always going to be a 60-game season. So what was all the arguing even about if it was always going to be a 60-game season? Because I thought that it was going to be a 78-game season, 75-game season, 81-game season. You know, the players obviously wanted 115 games or whatever. We heard so many different numbers I can't even keep track anymore. But if it was always going to be a 60-game season, what the hell was the delay?
Right, like why waste everybody's time?
Right.
And just implement the season.
It was to make the players look bad. So now, I've always been pro-player. Now I'm more pro-player than ever. It was all about the owners and Rob Manfred, and they wanted to be the heroes in all this. They wanted to make the players the villains, make the players look like they were the greedy ones. When it's the owners, for most of these owners, for 85% of them, this isn't even their job. This is a hobby. Owning a baseball team is a hobby. I also want names. I want names of the GMs. And the owners that didn't want to come back and play a baseball season, even the 60-game season. They should be forced to sell their team. They should be forced to resign. You don't want a season. You don't want to do your job. Then don't do it. Give your team up. Because there's a lot of people that actually love the game of baseball, that love Major League Baseball, that would kill to own a team. My favorite movie, one of my favorite movies, Little Big League. I've always wanted to be a GM. Put together my own team. You got guys that don't even want a season. Just ridiculous. But that made no sense to me. It was always going to be a 60-game season. What the hell? What's the delay then? I mean, spring training 2.0 or summer camp, I'm glad to have the players back at Miller Park. I'm glad that they're doing workouts and we're going to get something. But the goal ultimately, like the goal was to be playing baseball 4th of July weekend. We're supposed to be watching baseball this weekend, tomorrow. July 1st was going to be the start date, remember? And now we're waiting until the end of the month. COVID tests are popping up all over the place, and we got to wait a month. They should be playing baseball right now as we speak. The Brewers should be, well, it's 8 a.m., so nobody be playing baseball right now. But you get the point. We should be watching baseball tomorrow, not horse racing. I'd still probably be watching golf, but my main focus would be Major League Baseball, Brewers baseball. Instead, I'll be watching the hot dog eating contest with Joey Chestnut going for like his 40th title in a row. That guy's amazing, by the way. So I just, Rob Manfred, he's the ultimate schmuck, in my opinion. Hearing that interview actually pissed me off yesterday. I've gotten over it. But we'll talk some Major League Baseball coming up again. Ben Clemens, FanGraphs. We talk with him at 8:30 a.m. We're going to talk with Zach Cram on Monday. Bart and myself just heard back from him literally 2 minutes ago. He wrote a piece, The 10 Indisputable Reasons Why the Bucks Should Be the Title Favorites. He said, I very much believe in the Bucks, and I very much believe in Chris Middleton. I believe he's a star. Here's why. And he wrote this piece for The Ringer. And we've had Zach on in the past. He's been high on the Bucks for the last 2 years, also really high on Chris Middleton, where most call him overrated, say he isn't worth the money. Zach agrees with myself, agrees with Bart, and most smart basketball fans that Chris Middleton is actually very underrated. Like, the reason that I want this regular season to take place is because I want him to be a member of the 50-40 Club, and he's right there. His 10 reasons, though, I do want to go through these really quick, and then we're going to talk some Major League Baseball, but we'll have Zach on Monday. Number one, pretty good reason right here. They have Giannis. Let's start with the simple one. Giannis is the MVP for the second consecutive season. His early March knee sprain, which cost him two games, both Bucks losses before the season's postponement, is now over with. Pretty much is what he's saying. So Giannis will be fully healthy. Number two, he says they're going for a number one seed. Number three, they're a historically dominant regular season team. Like I continue to say, if you look at their defensive rating, it's tops in the league. They're also beating teams by nearly 12 points a game. And you know the NBA, everybody makes runs. If you're a degenerate gambler like myself, you know that in the fourth quarter, every single team makes a run. Like when I used to watch basketball growing up in the 90s, if a team had a 30-point lead, I turned the game off. Now a team has a 30-point lead in the first half. I mean, the Bucks are a great example, especially last year. They'd get off to these big starts, these hot starts, and then just kind of collapse in the second half and give up a bunch of threes. But especially with the three-point shot, the way the game's played, where nobody really goes to the rim anymore. It's all about drive, kick out, shoot threes. It's tough to protect a lead. So the fact that the Bucks beat teams by 12 points per game is ridiculous. And if you're a gambler, you love the Bucks because they cover 80% of the time. He says the Bucks aren't merely a regular top-seeded team. However, they're one of the best regular season teams in league history. And crucially, that kind of extreme performance has been quite predictive of playoff success. Out of 11 previous teams that posted the point differential of a 65-win season or better, as the Bucks are currently on pace to do, eight won a title and a ninth loss to another team on this list. And on this list is the 96 Bulls that went 72-10 at the time. That was the record, which was later broken by the 73-9 Warriors. So on this list, the 96 Bulls, 97 Bulls, 71 Bucks, 2016 Spurs. Now, that's a bad example because they had a 67.1 winning percentage, and they lost in the second round. The 2008 Celtics, who won a title. The 72 Lakers won a title. 2017 Warriors won a title. The 72 Bucks, who lost in the conference finals to the Lakers, they're on this list. The 92 Bulls won a title. The 2015 Warriors won a title. And then the 2016 Warriors, who lost in the finals to LeBron James and the Cavs after they blew that 3-1 lead. They would have won the finals that year, too, if Draymond Green doesn't decide in Game 4 or Game 5 to give shattered dreams and kick a guy in the junk and then get suspended. And LeBron just goes on a crazy tear, and Kyrie Irving as well, closing those games out. But pretty much, when you have a regular season like the Bucks did, and you were on pace to win over 65 games, at one point over 70 games, you're expected to win a title. So the Bucks aren't just a good regular season team. They're one of the better NBA regular season teams in league history. Number four, Zach says their defense is also historically dominant. I've talked about that for the last month. They have the third best defense on record in NBA history. They allow 8.5 fewer points per 100 possessions than the league average, which is just ridiculous. Number five, the Bucks didn't underachieve in the 2018-19 postseason, which this is what I wanted to hit on real quick. He says, well, sure, you might say, but the Bucks were a number one seed with the league's best defense last year, too, and didn't save them from losing four straight games to Toronto after taking a 2-0 lead in the conference finals. But the memory of the Bucks' collapse shouldn't tarnish the entirety of their playoff run last season. Here are their game-by-game results before their collapse against the Raptors. They won by 35, they won by 21, 16, 23, 22, 21. You guys get the point. They were beaten up on teams, and up until the point where they have the four-game collapse, they were 10-1 in the playoffs with an astounding plus 15.3 per game point differential. So they weren't just beating teams in the playoffs when everybody actually tries and plays defense. They're beating the hell out of teams by nearly 16 points per game. Number six, he says they don't have to play an LA team until the finals. Great point right there. Let the Lakers and the Clippers just beat the living hell out of each other, because that's going to be the Western Conference Finals. I could see, I was high on the Jazz coming into this season because I really liked the Mike Conley pickup. And what I like about Mike Conley is Donovan Mitchell is a ball-dominant guard as well, likes to play with the ball in his hands. But with Conley, you could kind of play him off the ball, or he could run the point. But he was kind of a disaster the first half of the season. After paying him all that money, they even benched him. Now the team's really a disaster. So I think it definitely comes down to the Lakers or the Clippers. You could take an outside shot with the Nuggets, but I mean, Jokic has coronavirus. He lost so much damn weight too, which is probably a good thing for him. But the thing with the Jazz is now you wonder about their chemistry. So there is no sleeper team really out West, because the Jazz would have been my sleeper team, and their two best players hate each other, and Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. They could say they patched things up, but if somebody gives you the coronavirus by coughing all over the place on purpose, I think it's probably pretty tough to forgive them. Number seven, Chris Middleton is a star. This is why I want to have Zach on. Can't sell Middleton short, he said. Out of 46 qualified players this season with a usage rate of at least 25%, Chris Middleton ranks second in true shooting percentage. He's a rare combination of volume and efficiency. He makes shots at an average or better rate from every spot on the floor. He has a chart here, and it's just more proof that Chris Middleton is a superstar in this league. Say what you want about him. Will he have a rough night from the floor? Yes. Will he also be defending the other team's best player on the perimeter? Yes. Number eight, the Bucks have depth and lineup versatility, which we've hit on. I think the Bucks are the second deepest team in the league. I may like the Clippers bench a little bit more. And then he has number 10, Giannis, still getting better. That's the craziest thing about Giannis. He's about to win his second MVP, most likely, back-to-back MVPs. I argue he should be Defensive Player of the Year as well, and he's only getting better. So that's Zach Cram. He'll join us from the Ringer on Monday morning around 8 a.m. We'll talk more about that piece. Are the Bucks the favorite? Should they be the overwhelming favorite? Could he see the Lakers or the Clippers having success against them? We'll preview the NBA playoffs, and we'll continue to do so for the next month. Coming up, though, we'll switch gears a little bit. We'll talk Major League Baseball, a 60-game season. What do you project? How many wins is it going to take to win the division, to win the NL Central? Are the Brewers a postseason team? How are teams going to use their rotations? We'll talk about all that coming up next here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. It's the Bart Winkler Morning Show. Show here, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Bart with the day off. You guys know that by now. He'll be back on Monday morning. Ryan Horvath filling in. Sam Schmitz behind the glass producing the show. We've talked a lot of NBA basketball, and we'll talk more Bucks basketball on Monday morning. Zach Cram from The Ringer. We will also, today it's a top five Friday. We're doing top five NFL quarterbacks original. I know, but I keep seeing these top lists. And Aaron Rodgers, is he no longer a top five quarterback? We'll discuss that coming up. Right now, we welcome in on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Ben Clemens, does great work over at FanGraphs. Ben, thanks for joining us, man. I want to start things off, though. I read your bio. You're a baseball writer for FanGraphs. I love your work. But you live in San Francisco, and you're a Cardinals fan. Are you from St. Louis? How the hell, how do you root for the Cardinals?
So my dad grew up in St. Louis, and I grew up in Tennessee, so they were just my natural team because he's rooted for them, you know, since he was a kid, and we didn't have any teams.
All right, I want to start in the NL Central. It's a 60-game season. I'm praying we get baseball. I know that, obviously, we have a lot of work to do here in the next couple weeks before the new opening day with COVID tests and whatnot. When you look at the NL Central, 60-game season, who should be the favorite to win the division? Because you look at a team like the Cubs, the last couple years they get off to a hot start, then they just collapse. The Brewers get off to a little bit slower of a start, but Christian, they got a guy like Christian Yelich who could pretty much individually carry them to a division title. And then you look at a team like the Cardinals, last year slow start, but then Paul Goldschmidt got hot, the pitching picked it up, and then they ran away with the division at the end. Who do you like in the Central in a 60-game season?
I mean, this is going to be a cop-out, but I think the first four teams are all about even. I would maybe give the Brewers and Cubs this slight edge in that group, but the Brewers, Cubs, Cardinals, and Reds are all just really built to have a playoff chance, and I don't think any of them jumps out to me as ahead of the pack at all.
What? Okay, so like with the Reds, for example, I was all in on the Reds when I thought it was going to be a 162-game season, and, you know, Pecota came out with their projections, and although they were pretty high on the Reds, and, you know, I feel like some people are high on the Reds, others just say it's going to be the same old Reds, they're not going to do anything. What are your thoughts on them? When you look at that lineup, like, we've been away from baseball for so long that every time I look at these rosters, I'm like, oh my God, I forgot that the Reds have this guy. They got Mike Moustakas, they got Nick Castellanos. What do you think about their lineup and then their pitching depth as well?
So I think they benefited a lot from having a DH every day.
Yeah.
Because if you look at their outfield, they have, I don't know, five, six guys to play three spots. Being able to put Castellanos at DH or Jesse Winker at DH, I mean, neither of those guys really needs to have a glove out in the field. I mean, both of them are hurting you when they do. And so that gives them a pretty big boost. I think you could argue that the Brewers have kind of a similar thing going on, though. If you look at some of the guys they brought in the offseason, like Ryan Healy is really useful against lefties. I mean, he's been on the team already. But then Justin Smoak is really useful against righties. And there's not – and Ryan Braun is really useful against lefties. They don't have a place to play these guys every day. But having a DH is going to make that a little bit easier. And I think that that is like, that's kind of underrated, having an extra bat in the lineup that you can do easily. I think the Brewers are set up pretty well for that, but the Reds especially are set up well for that.
Yeah, completely agree. And I mean, we love the universal DH. Just if you're a Ryan Braun fan, and we kind of thought that this was going to be his last year, maybe in Major League Baseball, but definitely probably in Milwaukee. Now I think that extends him maybe for a year or two, and he could get more out of his career. What are your thoughts on the universal DH, on the new extra inning rule? What do you think about these new rules? It's a 60-game season, so I understand it. I'm a traditionalist, so I hate the – I like the D. I like the pitcher batting in the National League personally. What are your thoughts?
I think that the universal DH, it's hard for me to get too worked up about it one way or another because pitchers aren't great hitters, and if that was missing from the game, I'd be sad. But I think in 5 or 10 years, I wouldn't really notice it. I don't like the runner on second and extra innings rule. I'm willing to be proven wrong because I haven't really seen it in action yet.
Right.
But it just feels a little bit off to me. So I understand that they can't really afford to have a 15-inning game when they're playing 60 games in 66 days. So I understand why it's there for this year. I'd like to see that one go away for a while unless it's great, unless we all love it.
Right.
But I think universal DHs are... it's going to be hard to get out of the way of that long term because pitchers have just continued to get worse and worse and worse at hitting. And I'm sure the pitchers would be just as happy not hitting if you asked them privately.
Right, exactly. And we've seen injuries as well, like Brandon Woodruff here in Milwaukee. Like, I get that aspect of it. You don't want to lose a starting pitcher for a couple weeks because he gets injured running to first base or, you know, trying to steal second or anything
yeah.
like that. You know, but so as far as the universal DH, I've expected this. I just think that the Players Association and the league, they want more offense. I expect that one to stick. Do you think, as far as the extra innings thing, if it's a complete disaster, do you think that's around next year or, you know, the year after?
No.
Okay, so that's
I think
just
it's
for the
not around even if people like it this year.
Thank God.
I think it's just for the 60 games thing. They really couldn't afford long extra innings games, and I think they were smart to put that in, but I think there's no chance it's back next year.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. We're talking with Ben Clemens from FanGraphs. You did a piece, will the schedule make depth starters more valuable? And that's what I wanted to talk to you about today. Starting pitchers, do you think that they're going to be used differently? Like, for example, is Gerrit Cole going to be a starting pitcher? Can you see teams maybe using relievers and then using their starting pitchers, their best pitchers, maybe in relief so you could get more use out of them, use them 3-4 times in a week, something crazy like that? It's a 60-game schedule. I really don't know what to expect. What do you expect? How do you expect teams to use their rotation, though?
So I'd lump it into two groups. One is the first few weeks of the season, and I think the Brewers have a pretty good chance of being creative then because none of these guys are going to be fully stretched out. They had, you know, 2.5 weeks to get ready rather than their normal 2.5 months. And maybe not 2.5 months, but well over a month.
Right.
And so if you have guys like Freddy Peralta and Corbin Burns, who you just have sitting around, essentially, they're in the bullpen, but they're good enough to start. They have enough stamina to start. Why not throw that guy 4 innings and then throw Josh Lindblom 4 innings while he gets stretched out? You know, the Brewers have said that Brett Anderson and Josh Lindblom will both be in the rotation. And so that's 4 guys right away, because I don't think Hauser and Woodruff are going anywhere. But they have, what, 7, maybe 8 starters mm-hmm. who I'd be comfortable calling a good above-average major league starter. I think that for the first few weeks, you're going to see them stacking those guys up one way or another. Maybe they'll have a 6-man rotation and then use 2 of them for multi-inning stints in between. They're big fans of these multi-inning stints, like the way they manage Hader. Right, like he'll go multiple innings all the time, but never back-to-back days. I could easily see them adding Peralta and Burns to that. And then as the season goes on, it's really useful to have those depth starters because you're going to run into these patches where there's 10 games in 10 days or, you know, you have a rain out in St. Louis sometime or something and it's 7 games in 6 days. And so it's really helpful to have a good 6th starter for that. That's one thing that this compressed season with, you know, fewer off days is really going to throw into focus. I think the Brewers are probably the best setup team in the Central to handle that.
Do you see everybody returning? Like, I know some players are going to opt out, you know, a couple Washington Nationals members. And if I'm on the Washington Nationals, I'd sit out the season. A 60-game season, you just won a World Series. What's even the point? I would just say, hey, I'll see you guys in 2021. But, like, Josh Hader wants a big deal. He didn't get it. I look at Jose Quintana in Chicago. He has a finger cut right now, which he got, they say, doing the dishes. But, again, like, do you think it's worth it for, especially if you're a starting pitcher, you're coming up on a contract year, it's already going to be a mess. Negotiations in 2021, we know. Do you think it's worth it for everybody to return? Now, for Gerrit Cole, you know, Steven Strasburg, they just got paid. But if you're coming up on a big contract year, do you think it's worth it to pitch this season?
So it depends what your current situation is.
Right.
If you haven't hit free agency yet, skipping out on this year actually pushes your free agency back a year unless you're high risk. So I don't think that'll happen at all. So I think Hader will 100% be back, because if he misses this year, that's an extra year where he's not going to reach free agency. And I'm sure he'd, you know, I know he loves pitching on the Brewers. I'm sure he'd also like to get paid more to do it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Anywhere. I think exactly.
So guys that are kind of on the service time clock, I don't think they'll miss the season unless they're high risk. And, you know, that is completely understandable. I think that if you are like in the last year of a contract, I think Ryan Zimmerman's a great example. You know, he set out the season. He's on a 1 year, $2 million contract. He's a free agent next year either way. That make, and he's made a lot of money in his career. I think then you have to really think about it. I think, like you said, he just won the World Series. It's a 60-game season.
Right.
He doesn't want to get his wife sick, and I think the decision was probably not that hard for him. I don't think the Brewers have a lot of guys that line up that way. And, you know, they have a lot of guys who are early in their careers, and they have a lot of people who are earning a lot of money this year, and they all want to win, too. I think that it stacks up in a way where I don't expect to see any of them sit out unless, you know, their parents are really high risk.
Right.
And I don't know how to know that, but I don't see any of them sitting out for baseball reasons.
Well, even like Ryan Braun, who's, I mean, he's not old, but he's getting up there. He's got a family and his wife, you know,
yeah.
they're about to have a baby. And even he's at Miller Park right now. And he did a sit down interview with the LA Times. And he was like, look, I'm not even 100% sure that we're going to have a season, but if we do, I'm going to be here. What do you think? Do you think that it's 100% guaranteed that we're going to have baseball this summer? Like, do you think this season starts and we crown a World Series champion? Do you see him finishing? Or are you still pretty optimistic, or are you pessimistic right now?
I am fairly certain, not 100%, because I'm not 100% about much of anything, but
right.
above 95% sure that there's going to be a season. Something really bad would need to happen nationwide to not have the season start. I'm talking, they call off the NBA season, they call off the NHL season, they call off the NFL season, or at least delay it.
Right.
Because baseball is pretty committed to having a season start. That would be, I don't even know what could do that in the next 3 weeks.
Well, and see, that's the thing, because I've gotten into KBO League baseball because I just need any sort of baseball. So I'm waking up at 4 a.m. to watch baseball games. It is. But the thing is, if one player tested positive in the KBO League, they were going to shut down the entire league for 3 weeks. We're seeing, like, the Philadelphia Phillies had to shut down facilities and whatnot already. If players continue to test positive, are they just going to quarantine these guys and bring in the taxi squad players, or are they going to shut the whole thing down? Like, what do you think it would take, I guess?
I think that it's going to depend a lot on what's going on in the host cities, you know, so
right.
in all 30 cities, I think, because they're sticking, Toronto just got an exception to bring the team back there, and what's going on with the other sports leagues. I think that for better or worse, baseball has painted themselves into a corner where, because of the late start to the season, because they had such awkwardness and just, like, honestly, just general discord between the owners and players, I don't think they can really afford, from a PR standpoint, to shut it down early. And I know that sounds bad, and that's not what we should be caring about. We should be caring about the health of players
right.
and the health of the staffers. But I think that as long as the league is making the decisions, they're going to find a way to say, oh yeah, we still feel safe, until things get pretty bad everywhere.
What do you think?
I don't know how to handicap that, though.
I mean, know
they're going to try their hardest.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm hoping that it works out, but I'm the same
yeah.
way. Like, I want baseball, but at the same time, I want everybody to be healthy, everybody to be safe, nobody to, you know, pass this virus along to a family member. If sports come back and we even lose one player, because, right, you probably have a 99% chance to survive. That's what everybody, you know, complains to me on Twitter and tells me, at least. And I get that, but even if one player gets severely sick or we lose one player, I don't think sports coming back is worth it, but that's just me.
Yeah, something I've talked to my wife about a little bit is, you know, a 99% survival rate sounds great, but a 1% death rate sounds terrible.
Right.
I don't want to do something with a 1% chance of killing me. That's
exactly.
You can only do 100 of those in your life. That's not good.
Exactly, Ben. I'm done arguing about it, though, because it only gets me in trouble on social media and at work. But so in a 60-game season, going back to baseball, what are, like, Who do you think could lead the league in homers? Like, what would lead the league in homers? 20 home runs, 22? What are, like, realistic projections for a 60-game season, do you think? Like, we want to know how many home runs Christian Yelich could possibly hit in a 60-game season in Milwaukee.
Well, I was going to say, I think it's pretty reasonable to think Yelich will lead the league.
Yeah, I think so.
I think if you had to bet on one player, I don't know why you wouldn't pick him. He's probably the easiest pick. So I think that a number, if you get to 25 home runs, you're almost a lock to lead the league. I think 20 would be a little bit low, so somewhere in between 20 and 25. And I think the kinds of players who are going to have the best shot at doing that are probably lefties and probably in the NL Central. So it's looking good for Yelich right away. Yeah. And the reason for that is get to play the AL Central 20 games. That's a pretty big tailwind. They're definitely the worst division in baseball. And, you know, the NL Central is already a high offense division, and getting to play all of your out of division games against basically a pretty soft slate of teams is that's how you want to do it.
If you had to pick a World Series champion, and I know that's tough to do. We have no idea what the season's going to look like, but I keep saying that I think this is finally going to be the year where the Dodgers win the World Series, just because, I mean, every year they're stacked. They pick up Manny Machado, then they collapse. Look at this year, for example, like Mookie Betts. I just feel like this will finally be the year that they do win a World Series title, because it's a 60-game season, and then there'll be an asterisk next to it. But if you had to make a prediction today, who would you pick to win the World Series? And would it be the same as you picked in a 162-game season, or have you changed that prediction just with it being now a 60-game season?
Yeah, so I think the most likely team to win the World Series is the Dodgers. I agree with you on that. It just feels like they're going to break through eventually. And I guess you can throw the Yankees in there, too. Doesn't sound like they're going to break through eventually is fair for the Yankees. But they haven't been to the World Series in 12 years or something, which is weird to say.
I know.
They're always so good. I think the teams that are most underrated, though, in terms of likelihood of winning the World Series, are the entire NL Central. Basically for the scheduling reason I was talking about before.
Right.
We're going to have two wildcard teams this year, and I think there's a decent chance they're both from the Central. Because they just have the softest schedule, and that just matters so much in this season where you play 40 games in your division and 20 out, and that's it. I mean, if you go, you know, if you beat a division rival a few times, you're likely to win your division, because just 2/3 of the season is in division. And then you're looking at getting to play the AL Central. Well, you know, the Nationals play the AL East. You're going to pick up 5 games there, probably.
Right. No, I completely agree. Yeah, you look at the AL Central, and I mean, I could see like the White Sox being a surprise team. I mean, it depends, though. Are their young arms going to be healthy? But Cleveland's not what they were. The Royals, everybody should beat up on the – watch, though, in a 60-game season, I could see like now the Royals will go 40 and 20, and Jorge Soler will hit like 42 bombs or something like that.
That would be amazing, yeah. I mean, anything can happen. But getting to play the Tigers and Royals and – I mean, the Twins are really good. But like you said, the White Sox, you don't know if their arms will be healthy. And, heck, they may not even call them all up.
Right, exactly. That's the other thing. I mean, like, look at Kopech, for example, coming off Tommy John surgery. Why are you going to rush anybody back? Ben, thanks a lot, man. Once these games get going, want to have you back on and actually talk about some baseball games. That'd be fun.
I would love to come back, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Appreciate it. That's Ben Clemens. You could find his work at FanGraphs. Broke down what a 60-game season could look like, how teams should use their starters. Really good stuff, and focuses on the Brewers a little bit. Did a whole piece on the Brewers, so check him out at Ben Clemens. Check out FanGraphs. I'm into it. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. We're going to take a quick break. I know I'm getting some messages. People want to talk more Bucks basketball. I'm always down to do that. Give me a call right now, 414-799-1250. We'll talk Bucks. Also, it is a top five Friday, so I do want to get to the top five quarterbacks on your list for the 2020 season. If there is a 2020 season, you get what I'm saying. All that coming up. It's the Bart Winkler Morning Show here on The Fan. Good morning show here on 105.7 FM, 1250 on the AM. You could find anything you missed today, any other day, for free on the radio.com app. show podcast by the hour, each and every interview that we conduct, everything for free. Bill Michaels coming up next, 10 to 2. He's got a great show planned for you. He's going to talk with Ian Eagle today, CBS Sports, as well as play-by-play announcer for the Brooklyn Nets. The one team that I just think that they should scrap from the bubble is the Brooklyn Nets. There's no point in bringing them into the Orlando bubble. They're down to nobody left on that team. No Kyrie, no KD, and now no DeAndre Jordan. Other players most likely going to opt out. At this point, what's the point? We're going to talk a little bit more about the Bucks. We are 414-799-1250. I'll take your phone calls. Anything you want to ask that involves the Milwaukee Bucks. We could talk Brewers. Choose your own adventure really here on a Friday. I'm excited because professional sports are coming back, but we still got about a month. So we've recapped the Bucks regular season. That's what we continue to do. And NBA TV last night actually stole my idea that I passed along to Bart Winkler. They did the same thing, a half-hour special last night on the Bucks, kind of recapping the regular season. My favorite part of the regular season has to be the victories against the Clippers were nice. But Kawhi in the regular season and Kawhi in the playoffs is a whole nother beast. Same thing even with Paul George. I know he doesn't have a whole lot of playoff success. Those wins were nice against the Clippers. The ones where obviously you beat him without Paul George and Kawhi. Actually, you lose to Paul without Paul George and Kawhi on there. But when you go back and you look at that win against the Lakers, that was my favorite victory of the season, the one at home. Now, the loss to the Lakers sucked because you lose one game to the Lakers, and then all of a sudden all the national media outlets are talking about how LeBron should be the MVP and how the Lakers are the team to beat, even though consistently the Bucks have been the best regular season team for the last 2 years. One loss and everybody starts to overreact. But I liked the overacting over the Bucks win at home, the game where Giannis is hitting threes. The Bucks got off to a hot start. The first half, they just dominated the Lakers. The Lakers made that game a little bit closer in the second half. I think that was my favorite win of the season, though. The win against the Lakers. That was kind of Giannis's coming out party. Even though he was the MVP of the league, I still just don't think that he gets the type of respect that he deserves. You know, you could turn on, if I turned on ESPN right now or Fox Sports 1 right now, I guarantee you there's a LeBron James conversation going on, a LeBron James topic, where they're talking about LeBron James and trying to find a way to give him the MVP. Nobody's most likely talking about the Bucks, talking about Giannis, and hopefully that changes here in the next couple months because I'm going to pencil the Bucks in for the NBA Finals. I don't know what happens when you get there. It'll be tough to beat LeBron in a seven-game series. The way that that'll be officiated, we know LeBron's going to get every single whistle. The way that you have to defend Anthony Davis is going to be tough. I think I could see Giannis picking up some early fouls in that type of series. I think the Clippers will be just as tough. I really like their bench. I like their depth. And I think until somebody dethrones Kawhi right now, he's the best player on the planet, even over LeBron James. We haven't seen LeBron James in the playoffs in 2 years. So I'm excited for the NBA playoffs. We'll continue to break that down. We'll talk about all that fun stuff. But I do want to get to the top five quarterbacks in the NFL. It's a top five Friday. I know Bill Michaels has top five reasons or ways that the Bucks will win a championship this year. I will hit on that too. One, nobody gets COVID-19 and has to go into quarantine. Two, Giannis stays healthy. Three, Middleton hits shots and shuts down the opposing team's best player. Four, Eric Bledsoe's assist-to-turnover ratio improves in the playoffs. He's on the floor in the fourth quarter. George Hill doesn't have to give you a bunch of minutes. And five, I'll revisit, nobody gets COVID-19. I think that's the only obstacle that the Bucks will face in the Eastern Conference. I know a lot of you are high on the Miami Heat. I'll continue to say it. Jimmy Butler will never be the best player on a championship team. I think the Heat in 2 to 3 years will be very solid and a championship contender because I think Jimmy Butler will convince another player to go play in Miami and South Beach. I think that that's an easy place to talk people into. It's a great destination. If you've been to Miami, you know what I'm talking about. I think the Brooklyn Nets will be a much better team next year, obviously. You're going to have one of the best closers in the league in Kyrie Irving, a dominant scorer, and you have the best scorer on the planet in Kevin Durant. Now, what's Kevin Durant going to look like after this injury? That's a tough injury to come back from. But still, I think the East will be better next year. This year, though, I don't know who gives the Bucks the shot. Maybe a team like Boston, they are young, so in this bubble they won't be worried about wives and children and their family. They'll be focused on basketball, and they're young. Philadelphia, they can't win away from Philadelphia. They've lost two times only in Philly. Go back to the Christmas Day game when they hit over 50% of their shots. We're nailing threes. But you look at Philadelphia away from Philadelphia, what do they want, 10 times all year? They're a brutal road team. Now, maybe if you take away some of those distractions, if Embiid can't go sit at Pato until 5 a.m., you know, if Ben Simmons isn't chasing after the Kardashian chicks, maybe you take away those distractions and they're a better team away from Philadelphia. But I need to see them actually win a game away from Philly. I keep having the memories of last year, Joel Embiid, the flashbacks of him trying to sit out a playoff game against Kawhi and the Raptors because he had a stomachache. I don't think that the 76ers are the team that you guys think that they are. I don't think Jimmy Butler is the player that you think he is. I think he's a very good player in a seven-game series, though. I don't think the Miami Heat could take the Bucks. I think Toronto, I think that's a team we're sleeping on. Statistically, the Raptors, point differential, everything. Defensive metrics, they're actually a better team this year, regular season, on paper, than they were last year with Kawhi. Now, Kawhi sat out a lot, used a lot of load management, and the playoffs are a whole other beast. But I think we're sleeping on the Raptors a little bit. I think they have the best coach in the East. I love Bud. Nick Nurse is young, but what he did last year, I think we got to give credit where credit's due. I think he should be coach of the year. We'll talk a little bit more about the Bucks. We'll recap the regular season. Top five quarterbacks coming up as well. We got a commercial-free hour. We'll get to your phone calls if you're on the line. Hang there. Your social media reaction, 414-799-1250. Tweet at the show at 105.7FM, The Fan. Ryan Horvath, Sam Schmitz, back for a commercial-free hour on the Bart Winkler Morning Show. And that starts next here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.